Hello and welcome back to another edition of Calibrating Your Compass, a Brew University podcast taking a deep dive look into our J.J. Taylor leadership competencies. My name is Jeff Weaver and I'm your host, and I'm here as always with my two special guests, Bob and Matt Briggs. Bob, Matt, welcome back once again.
Glad to be here, Jeff. Look forward to our conversation this morning.
This will be another good one, Jeff. I'm excited about it.
I'm excited to have you guys here, and thank you, of course, for being with us, because today we're talking about our fourth leadership competency, and that's being customer-focused. And I think this is a fun one because when we built this competency, we really very intentionally set out to say, this isn't just going to be about customers in the sense of people we do transactional business with, that this is customers in a more broad and more strategic sense. So I'm really excited about this. It's one of my personal favorite leadership competencies because I really think it speaks to the heart of how we work and treat each other, both inside the organization and out. But with that, let's get into it and talk about being customer focused. And I'll kick it off as I usually do with asking Bob, tell us a little bit about the context of how this one came onto the list and why it was selected and why customer focus was deemed one of the essential seven as it is of our leadership competencies.
Sure. We were having conversations with the executive team. This goes back probably 10 or 11 years ago. It was clear that the leaders were very customer focused. They understood that really the key to success of running a business is how well we serve our customers. And so it was kind of a no-brainer to make it one of the seven. I think we expanded that from just thinking about the external customers, the end users, and added to that our thoughts and learning around internal customers. And it's so critical that, you know, we pay attention to how we serve each other internally, because how well we serve internally has a whole lot to do with how well we can serve our customers externally.
I couldn't agree more. I think this is... And one of the keys for me is that we did expand this beyond, because I think you're right. Going back to the beginning, you know, you're absolutely right. This is an organization that has always had customer service at the top of its list. We're very sales centric. We're very customer driven. We think a lot about our retailers, and even to a certain extent, so our consumer as well. And so I think it's always been clear that the mindset here is one of a customer service towards our accounts, towards our retailers, et cetera. But I really love that expanded addition to say, well, what if we started thinking about our internal customers as well? And how do we treat the other teams that we work with? How do we treat the other people in the other departments? Because for me, a big part of what this competency speaks to is the idea that, you know, it's that golden rule mentality. How do you want to be treated? Treat everybody that way. Bring everybody to the table in a way that makes them feel like a best customer. So I really love that that was brought into the mix of this. I think it's a key part of what makes this such an important competency.
Well, it really elevates the way we think about our customers. You know, if we see the people that we work with as colleagues, that's great. But if we see the people that we work with as customers, that gets us to a little bit different level. And so the idea is that the better we serve each other, the better we can serve our external customers. And, you know, one of the things that is really important as we think about internal customers is really to put more structure around what we do so that we can have some data to help us improve. And what I mean by that is the first thing we want to do as an individual J.J. Taylor employee is, one is, who are our customers? Sometimes people internally really haven't thought about that. They don't have clarity around who those customers are, but that's step one. Step two then is, what are their requirements? That's a critical question to ask. And so often as we think about serving each other, we're really not clear on what their requirements are. And as I ask people when we have conversations about customers, hey, what are the requirements of your customers? And they say, well, I think I know, you know, I'm not getting any complaints, so I must be doing okay. And we have to set a higher standard than that. And so it's a critical part of a customer focused organization is really for each of us to understand what the specific requirements are to be able to serve them well. So once we understand the requirements, then the next question, obvious question is, well, how are we doing meeting those requirements? And, you know, once again, if we don't ask that question and we make assumptions about how well we're doing, we miss an opportunity to improve. Our improvement is not targeted, and we just don't, we're not able to get to that next level. And of course, once we understand who our customers are, what their requirements are, then the third step in the process is to get feedback on how we're doing. So I understand your requirements, but now I want to know how well we're doing. Give me some feedback on how I can improve, how I can serve you better. And then the fourth step in the process then becomes, okay, so I know who my customers are. I now know what their requirements are. I know where I need to improve. So the fourth step then is, what actions am I going to take to serve my customers better? And if we can get everybody in an organization to think that way, to have good, solid data on how they're doing, how they're serving, we can improve how we're serving each other dramatically. And of course, always that results in better service internally, which leads to better service externally.
Absolutely. There's so much in that. So I want to break it down a little bit part by part and talk through each of those steps a little deeper. Because I think the first question that you pose is such an important one, which is, who are our customers? Right? There's the technical answer, which is the people that we sell to. But from our discussions, we know that it's all over the place. It's almost everyone we interact with, right? There's the customers at retail. There's our internal other teams and departments that we're trying to coordinate and work with. And then there's our employees who, if we think of them as a customer, you know, there's something about the idea of customer service that makes us want to step up our game a little bit, and not just in what we deliver, but it's the way. It's, you know, we always talk about the what and the how. And when it comes to customer service, it's about how we interact with people, the little things we do to show respect, the pleasantries, the tone and the style and the approach. When we think customer service, to me, it always starts from a place of, who are the people that I want to treat in that customer service way that makes them feel special and important and well cared for? Because I always think about that as, you know, what's great customer service? Great customer service makes me feel happy. It makes me feel special. It makes me feel important. And I think that's so key to the beginnings of this, is, who are the people that we want to make feel special and important and valued? And then from there, how do we make that happen?
Yep. I agree with that, Jeff. And I think the other thing that's important, maybe the most important thing of all, is that there has to be a mindset. I mean, we want to be people that are focused, that are driven, that are passionate about serving others, never serving myself. And so if my mindset, when I walk through the door, the front door of my building in the morning, or get on my truck, I have to have a mindset of, who am I going to help today? Who am I going to serve today? And it's got to be a very selfless attitude. Attitude is so important when it comes to customers. And, you know, and a lot of people just don't understand that, you know, the reason that you have a job is to serve others. I mean, that's the primary purpose that we have in our work. And so, you know, we want people to understand that they're hired to serve. And so once we can develop that attitude, then these more technical, data-driven activities can really power up how well we serve our customers.
Absolutely. Completely. So we start, of course, by understanding who our customers are. And then, as you said, figuring out what they want. So let's talk a little bit about, how do we uncover and discover that? Because I think one of the things that often gets people in trouble when it comes to customer service is assuming what their customer wants, as opposed to knowing what their customer wants. So from your perspective, Matt, Bob, what are some things that leaders can do to get to proper discovery and really be confident that they know their customers' needs and are not just assuming, guessing, or inferring them?
Well, really, it's really, Jeff, the answer to that is process and being intentional. You can't understand the requirements of your customers unless you sit down and have a conversation. So it's just a matter of picking up the phone or you know, reaching out to someone and saying, hey, let's get together for an hour. I want to understand what your needs are. What do you need from me to do your job? And, you know, it's not just a casual conversation, but it's a conversation with a notepad on your desk and writing things down so that you have real clarity in what those requirements are. It's getting to an agreement, you know, with a customer on exactly what they need. It has to be precise. It has to be detailed. And that's got to be step one. So often, as you pointed out, you know, people assume what their customers need, and their benchmark is, well, if I'm not getting any complaints, I must be doing a good job. We have to set a much higher standard than that to really become a customer-focused organization.
And Jeff, it doesn't really matter what department in the business you are. If you're managing the accounting team, or if you're managing a group in the warehouse or the drivers, it's going to those people that you serve internally first and foremost and saying, hey, how am I doing? What gaps do we have? What do we need to close? What can we do differently? How can I better serve you? And getting that detailed data and making changes and asking that question frequently. It's not once a year. You know, it's if it's not weekly, it's once a month, typically. And then the same process for our external customers, right? If we're talking to our customers once a year, once every 2 years, and we're not getting that feedback and making changes based on that feedback, somebody else is. And then, you know, Carl Sewell wrote a great book. It's called Customers for Life. He ran a bunch of car dealers in the Southwest area, is seen as the gold standard in customer service. And he talks about customer loyalty. You know, satisfied customers go elsewhere. Loyal customers stay with you for life. But if we're not asking those questions and assuming, like Bob said, well, nobody's complaining, when the littlest thing happens, the smallest error happens, they're going to leave us for somebody else or leave us for 25 cents of some type of price, versus a loyal customer is going to stay with us for life. So it's that constant communication. How am I doing? What can we change? And then implementing that change both internally and then externally. So same principles apply.
I think that's a great, great point, that it's more than just customer satisfaction. It's customer loyalty, and that takes a higher degree of service, and it takes a higher degree of detail than just getting the job done or getting the job done right. It's what are you doing to endear yourself and build a relationship and be more than just a service provider, but an actual partner. Right, goes to the heart of what we call that trusted beer advisor relationship when it comes to our accounts. But it really, again, because we're talking about both internal and external customers here, it's just having the understanding of what matters to the people you serve and how are you delivering on that. I want to key in on something you've both said a little bit, because I think sometimes this phrase can seem a bit intimidating to some leaders. You've both talked a good bit about the need for data when it comes to this, to have the data, know the data, understand the data, et cetera. And I think sometimes the word data can seem a little intimidating to people, where it's like, oh, do I have to track this? Do I need spreadsheets? Do I need formal surveys? Do I need numbers? But I think it's fair to say that when it comes to customer service, data is knowledge to an extent. And yes, it can certainly be enhanced by the tracking and the recording and having a CRM system or putting it on a spreadsheet. But at the very least, I think if you're a frontline supervisor and your customers are your people, it's not just enough to feel like they're satisfied or not complaint. You've got to go deeper than that, and you've got to ask questions and learn and know things. But is it really how critical is it when we say data to be talking numbers and measurables versus when we're talking data in the customer service realm to say it's about knowledge, it's about having a true pulse, and it's about constantly updating that knowledge to be current?
That's a great question, Jeff. And it really, we need to keep it simple. And we're not talking about surveys and, you know, 150 questions and all that stuff. What we're talking about is somebody sitting down with a customer and just having a conversation and understanding what their requirements are. And once we have clarity around those requirements, and, you know, and we have to, you know, I would suggest that when we talk about those requirements, we just jot down some notes to make sure that we've got some information that we can refer to. And then the next step in the process is, okay, so it might even be a good idea to repeat back or summarize the conversation so we know that there's clarity, with this internal customer. And I'm talking about internal customers primarily at this point. So once we have clarity on the requirements, then the next question, the obvious question is, well, how are we doing? How are we doing meeting your requirements? And you might say that individual might say, you know, hey, Jack, you're doing a superb job. Just keep doing what you're doing. So what should be your response to that? Okay, with the standards that we set at JJ Taylor, the response is, okay, that's great. That's not the response we want. The response is, okay, give me one thing that we could improve to better serve you, and be very. Aggressive is too strong a word, but I would be very firm at making sure that you can pull out of a customer that one little thing that could make a difference. Because again, as Matt said, we're not talking about satisfaction. We're talking about a much higher calling than that. We're looking for loyalty. And so that conversation around improvement is critically important, but we're not talking about a spreadsheet. We're not talking about detail. It might be one sentence. It's here's the one thing that we need to improve that I can take back to my team and say, you know, hey, folks, here's some feedback we got from one of our customers. Here's his recommendation on that one thing we can improve. Let's work on this and get that done. Get that done for him or her.
Absolutely. I think that's just so incredibly key and such a good mindset shift from customer sat to customer loyalty, to really taking it. What can we do to take it up that extra level? And I think that's such a great mindset approach to this type of problem.
And Jeff, it's simple. Like you said, the data is more about knowledge. And just like we've talked about in some of the prior episodes with leaders, I think we talked a little bit about leaders being visible with their teams. And, you know, if you're managing the drivers and you never go on a ride along with them, or you're never seeing them out in the field, do you really know what's going on? And so the same thing with your internal customers. If you're not going and talking to that other department that you directly serve, you know, if you're in the warehouse and you're not talking to the drivers, you're not talking to, you know, the delivery team, whatever it is, if you're not talking to those people that you directly impact in the organization on a frequent recurring basis about how are you doing, you don't really know and you're guessing. And so that getting that knowledge could be as simple as, hey, I'm going to have a monthly meeting with these two key leaders or two key teams that my team serves directly to ask these three critical questions, right? When we talk external customers as leaders, if we're not expecting and demanding these out of our people that are having direct touch points with the customer, we're not getting out in the field as well and talking to them about how are we doing, what are your needs, what could we do better, and then making changes based on that feedback, we're going to miss it. And so a lot of it is just managing our schedules and our time to make sure we're getting face to face in front of those internal and external customers to know how we're doing, what can we do better, and then here are the changes we're going to make.
Matt, you point out something in that's so critical, I think, to this whole customer service process, which is making time to check this stuff when there isn't a fire drill going on. You know, in my world, in training and development, it's all about behavior, and behavior is about conditioning. And so I'm constantly looking at, you know, how behavior and psychological rewards are tied together. And you can condition people in both positive and negative ways, as we know. And one of the things I'm always cautioning managers against is you don't want to accidentally negatively condition your employees, or in this case, any customer, by having the only times you interact with them be when there's a problem. Right. If the only time my phone rings from my employees, or the only time I call my employees, is when I need something from them or there's a problem they have to solve, eventually they will start to cringe when the phone comes up with my caller ID. Because if every call from the boss is a problem to be solved or a thing that's going to get dumped on me, I will want to stop taking that call eventually. And it's no different than with our retail customers. If the only time they see and hear from us is when there's something we need from them or a problem has to be addressed, they aren't going to look forward to those phone calls. And what you're talking about here about making space for those touch points and those check-ins when everything else is going fine, by having that regular scheduled time on the calendar where it could be a good call, it could be a problem call, we don't know, but it's there and we're going to take it. I think it goes a long way to helping condition us to be used to conversing outside of crisis mode. And I think that's really important when it comes to customer service, is that not every call needs to be about a problem. Not every call needs to be about a favor. Sometimes the call is just to check in and say, what can I do for you? How are you doing? And if nothing else, that helps condition our customers to not be afraid to pick up the phone when they see us dialing.
Let me share a quick story with you about just that, Jeff. Years ago, I had a conversation with John Taylor, and he said that they had lost a customer up in Minnesota. It was a bar, and couldn't understand. They'd been a long-term customer. You know, John thought that their relationship was sound, and all of a sudden they weren't buying any beer from JJ Taylor, and so he went up there and met with the owner of the establishment. And what the owner told him was that he put in a brand new sidewalk, outside, or I guess in the back of his facility where they delivered the beer. And one of the drivers kept dropping a keg on the sidewalk and cracking his brand new sidewalk. And he talked to the driver about that a couple of times, maybe more than that, but nothing happened. And so, the customer basically went in another direction. And it wasn't until John went up there to have a conversation with this guy that he finally said, look, you got a driver that's breaking up my sidewalk. That's my problem. But the point of that is that you weren't conducting the check-ins that are necessary so that those conversations can be had just in the course of regular check-ins with your key customers. And so the idea of being visible and being out in the trade is absolutely critical so that things like that don't happen.
Absolutely. It's a perfect example of, we didn't hear anything, so we assumed everything was fine until we realized it wasn't. And such a simple thing that could have been solved by that proactive time, that time out to just say, what can we do better? What can we do different? How are we doing in general? I think that's a great example. We actually teach that example every year in Great Manager Program. It's one of our case studies. And for that exact reason, that it's just such an illustrative example of, if we're not going out as customer-focused leaders and proactively seeking feedback, proactively gathering that data to know where we stand, then we can't expect to hear from people until it's probably too late. I mean, and that, again, whether that's an employee that we want to make sure we retain, an account that we want to make sure stays in the top 20, or another department that we want to make sure is doing us favors when we need them because we're going to need things eventually, it doesn't matter, right? It's if these are your customers and you're not going out and checking on them when times are good, don't expect to be able to fix every problem when things go south, because eventually they'll just throw their hands up and say, you weren't here for me until you had to be, and that doesn't cut the mustard sometimes.
It's something else, Jeff, to think about, and I know a lot of this is in the first choice culture, but really, if you think about first choice, right? I mean, JJ Taylor doesn't do anything that different than the competitors, right? We basically sell, deliver, and service our products and our, service the lines, all that stuff. The difference is about the service and the reliability. And so having some customer service standards and expectations, a short list of things that even it down to the nitty gritty, the small things like, hey, if we're entering a building or a facility, we open the doors for other people, or we say thank you. The Chick-fil-A model, they say my pleasure. They don't say you're welcome. Some people kind of find it annoying now because they'll be told my pleasure 10 times at Chick-fil-A, but it's a little standard.
It got little meta. Everybody got caught onto the trick, and now you see it.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You can see the matrix on that one when they do it, but it works.
Yeah, it works. And what are those four or five little things you can set with your team that, hey, we always do this. We always do this. I used to work I was on the receiving end of your business. I was in, you know, retail and restaurant hospitality. And we had a standard of we answer the phone within two rings always, no matter where you are in the building, we always answer the phone within two rings. And that was ingrained into people within our company that people would run to the phone breaking safety protocol because they didn't want that phone to ring a third time. And what are those little things that each supervisor, manager, leader, department head are ingraining that are company-wide, but then also by department that, hey, these are non-negotiable customer service principles?
Oh, absolutely.
And that's really important. And, you know, it sounds tedious, but you really do have to set standards. And if, you know, as we deal with, you know, customer service issues with some of our clients, there aren't any standards. So, you know, how long should it take before you return an email or a call? How long should it take to be able to solve a pretty simple problem? And you really need to set some clear objectives, some clear goals, just to help people understand that we serve our customers with a sense of urgency, even internally. You know, if you get a text or an email from someone, does that mean that we should return that text or email within 24 hours? Or should it be 10 minutes or something in between? So really important that we set a standard, and it might be different from one team to another in some cases, but I think Matt's absolutely right. To really to build a customer-focused organization, in addition to the things we've already talked about, you know, setting some standards of service is a really good idea.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a thing that I've brought over, you know, my background being with Disney, that was a cornerstone of Disney's customer service model is what they called their 7 guest service guidelines. And the amazing thing about it is these are things that, you know, they're little things like this. But what always struck me about them is they're simple, they're behavioral, they're free. I mean, it's not complicated, but it's so important. It's things like, you know, the first one on the list is make eye contact and smile. Just the power in when I – and, you know, I tell reps and managers and stuff this now when we teach customer service. I'm like, when you walk in the store, where does your eye line go? It should start with whoever you're going to be visiting. Start by looking towards the register. Find an employee. Make eye contact. Smile. It costs you nothing. It endears you to them, and it makes them understand that you're there for them. If your first line of sight is the cooler and the beer, the message you've just sent is, I'm here for the job. But if your first line of sight when you walk in the store is to find somebody who works there, catch their eye and smile at them, it says, I'm here for you. And I'll get to the beer in a minute, but the first thing on my list is I want to come and say hi. You know, it's seek out guest contact, which again is, we say, seek out store contact. Don't just come into the store as a ghost and be invisible. And no, seek it out. Seek out your employees' contact. Don't just walk by your team as if they're not there from going from point A to point B. Take the time to proactively speak to your people. You know, whoever your customer is, little things like that, you know, please and thank you, keeping an open body language, smiling, eye contact. These are all little things that we can do, but they make such a difference in making people feel valued and feel important. And again, that's the heart to me of customer service is when you get great customer service, you feel special, you feel important. And isn't that the way we would want everyone who interacts with us to feel? I think we can do that if we're intentional. As we say throughout this, it's all about intentionality. You've got to be thinking about and putting in the effort on this stuff.
You know, another one that's very simple but very important is being able to call people by name. You know, the better you are at remembering names and being able to use it appropriately is also a big deal. I mean, it's really a critical part of the process. I mean, all of the things that you've talked about, smiling, eye contact, using someone's name, treating them with respect, that's part of serving customers well. In fact, it's a big part of serving customers well. It's not so much about the beer, it's about the human beings and being able to interact with people in a positive way, listening, identifying what their needs are, their requirements. All of these things are so important in really driving a high level of customer loyalty, customer satisfaction. And you know, something else that's that's important when it comes to customer is how we measure. You know, again, we're data driven. We want to have some data. So it's you know, part of it certainly is voice of the customer, which is more of a formalized survey. But when we have people in the, you know, out in the trade, you know, being able to ask the right questions to be able to understand what's going on is very important. It's like the story up in Minneapolis. You know, you want to be able to ask questions about how we're doing, specific questions about how we're doing, because when you ask those questions, usually you'll get some answers. And the other thing that's important about that is that, you know, that's data that you want to collect. Because what you'll find, if you're able to collect that data, you'll begin to see some patterns that might point you to a training problem or a communication problem or a performance problem. And so, not just using the voice of the customer as data, but also really leveraging the information that you get as you're out in the trade and understanding what's going on, particularly with executives, with the more senior level folks that are making periodic visits to customers. You know, they ought to be asking, you know, four or five really good questions to understand what's going on. One of those questions, by the way, should be, how do we compare with our competitors? How are we serving you compared to how our competitors are serving you? You can get some very, very valuable information when you ask that question consistently, and then you collect that information across your customer base.
Absolutely. I want to throw one more into the mix on this, because I think you know, we've talked about some of the stuff that we can identify as missing, and one of the things that I often find is missing from organizations that are struggling with customer service, and that is consistently there with organizations who are known for great customer service, is empowerment. I think employee empowerment and customer service absolutely go hand in hand, because when it comes to customer service, people want resolution to their issue and they want it now. You know, nobody wants to wait to have to get three more levels of management involved, and nobody ever wants to hear, well, that's our policy. And so one of the things that I think can really make a difference in customer service organizations is, how empowered do you allow your employees to be, and what are the guidelines around that? Because it's my experience, and I'm curious to see if you feel the same, that the companies who are best known for their customer service, if you looked under the hood, you would find that they are the companies who most consistently empower their employees and give them latitude when it comes to making things right and solving problems. Is that something you've seen as well?
Actually, Jeff, that's critical to the process. I will tell you that, what's most important when serving customers is speed. And you can't serve with speed if they're, you know, if the person serving the customer is not empowered to make decisions. And so there has to be some real clarity on the authority that each of your people have that interface with customers, either internally or externally, so that they can make those decisions and solve problems and serve their customers well. I'll tell you a quick story, and this may be a longer story than we have time for, but it's an important story that we've used over the years. I bought a Callaway golf bag years ago, and the first time I took it out, it was a stand bag. First time I set it on the ground, the leg broke, and I got really irritated about that. And I spent a lot of money for this bag. I was a pretty loyal Callaway customer. But all of a sudden, I became a very unloyal Callaway customer. So at the end of my round, I went back to the car, and the box that it came in was in my trunk, and there was a big 800 number on it. And so I decided that I was going to call them and see if I couldn't get this resolved. And I of course, expected that I was going to get 20 questions. You know, did you break the leg with your 2-iron? Do you have the receipt? Is it in the original box and all that stuff? So I get this lady on the phone. This is a Friday afternoon at like 4:00. And so I told her my sad story, and her response is, Mr. Briggs, would it be okay if we had a new bag delivered to your house by 9:00 tomorrow morning? And that response, I was stunned by that. And I said, well, you know, how could you possibly do that? It's Friday and it's 4:00. And she said, well, we're on the West Coast. We can get it into the last FedEx shipment, and you'll have the bag tomorrow morning at 9:00. So guess what? 9 o'clock the next morning, FedEx is knocking on my door. They have a box with a brand new bag in it, and they had an empty box to put the broken bag in it, so we could send it back to Callaway. And I went from a very anti-Callaway to a lifetime loyal Callaway customer. But the point of all of this is that person that I talked to was empowered to solve the problem immediately. I can't stress enough how important it is to empower your people to serve their customers. If you build in bureaucracy, if it takes, you know, hours or even days to get approval to do something, you're really shooting yourself in the foot. And so really thinking intentionally about, you know, the authority that you're going to give your people is a critical part of building a customer focused organization. And that's a mistake that we see all the time, is that organizations build in controls, they build in bureaucracies that makes it very difficult to serve customers.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things that when we think about customer relationships and customer focus, we don't often think about our employees' empowerment. But the reality is, if you don't, you're missing a huge piece of what it takes to actually get that job done. So I appreciate you guys' thoughts on it, because I think it's such a cornerstone of the process. Other thoughts on customer focused and what it takes to make it effective?
Well, I would just say that really there are two pieces to this. One, your mindset needs to be, you know, how can I exceed my customers' expectations? That's my goal. And then the second thing is, how can I get this done at light speed? It's really both. And if you can accomplish both, you build loyalty like crazy. You can exceed customer expectations, but if it takes you 2 weeks to get it done, you destroy the benefit of having, you know, having solved an issue or a problem. And so really it takes both. And as you point out, Jeff, it's all about empowerment. You've got to empower your people to serve their customers both well and fast. And if you can do that, you can really make a difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't say it any better. So thank you. All right. Well, I think that's going to bring us to the end of our discussion on customer focused, our fourth in our leadership competency discussion. I want to thank both Bob and Matt, as always, for joining me on this journey and helping us break this down and give, hopefully, all of you listening a better understanding of not just what it means to be customer focused, but some tangible things you can be doing to stay customer focused. So Bob, Matt, thank you, as always, for bringing those ideas to the table. Appreciate it.
Glad to be here. We're very passionate about customers. Love talking about this stuff.
My last message for the group listening: you're either serving the JJ Taylor customer directly, or you're serving somebody who is serving that JJ Taylor customer. And so keep that your mindset, and you'll be much more customer focused in your day-to-day activity.
Absolutely. And that's what it's all about, is being intentional, keeping it up front in front of the mind. So hopefully that's what this has done. Hopefully you've gotten what you want, and hopefully you're about to hop out of your car to your next stop, or out of your truck to your next stop, and you're going to walk in with a smile on your face, make an eye contact with your next customer, and you're going to be there to exceed their expectations. So get out there and make it happen, no matter who your customer is. Treat them like your best customer, the way you would want to be treated. And with that, we'll wrap up this edition of Calibrating Your Compass. I've been your host, Jeff Weaver, and we'll be back next time with our next installment about cultivating the talents of your team. Until then, see you next time.